Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Happy Easter.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Monday, April 22nd, 2024. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday in the fourth week of Easter here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app as we continue celebrating the greatest miracle of all time, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's great to be with you once again. I hope you had a really good weekend and got to spend some quality time with your family and loved ones. Now, yesterday was the 21st anniversary of the launch of this program, the launch of Morning Air on April 21st, 2003. I was part of that original team. I was very blessed to be there on day one as we started broadcasting our first show on the Relevant Radio Network. This is part of that first moment with Morning Air with Jeff Cavins.
Coming up on Morning Air, a brand new program. We're going to talk to you about how we're going to change the world and the culture of life. Coming up.
It's a Morning Air. With Jeff Cavins. Jeff Cavins.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Cavins, host of this brand new program, Morning Air, on Relevant Radio, and a real heartfelt, warm good morning to you, and a God bless you today. An exciting day in Catholic radio.
It gives me goosebumps every time I hear that. Great memories. I was blessed to be part of that original team with Jeff Cavins as the founding host of Morning Air, along with Teresa Tamia doing the news. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Hey, Glenn, it all started for Morning Air 21 years ago yesterday, and wow, we've really have come a long way.
Oh, we certainly have. Like you say, just a handful of stations back then, blanketing Wisconsin, Chicago, and the Twin Cities, and now around the world online at relevantradio.com and on the app, 200-plus stations on the air across the U.S., and things have grown. What's an app? Back then, we didn't know, really, at least as far as streaming audio went, and that's been a great way to listen, too. But yeah, a lot of things have happened. Still fun to talk to Jeff from time to time in person and you know, on the radio, and he's still busy getting out there and you know, writing books, doing videos and podcasts and all kinds of things like that. And had occasion just to interview his wife last week about some archaeological digs in the biblical city of Sodom. So the Cavins crew still doing it.
That is so cool. Yeah, Jeff Cavins will forever be remembered as the founding host of Morning Air and such an important part of the launch of Relevant Radio from the very beginning. You know, I remember we were gearing up for the launch of that show. For months, we had been doing rehearsals. We were practicing. Everything had to fall into place. Marty Jury, who is still with us after all these years, our longtime engineer and technical guru. He was there at the very beginning and made sure that everything was working at the time. Remember the old ISDN lines to connect us all together remotely, because Jeff was at the Golden Valley Studios. I was in my apartment in Glenview, in suburban Chicago, and Teresa Tamio was in suburban Detroit. So even then, in the very first show, we were remotely connected.
Yeah, the technology has made just great things possible through the years, and even a few years before that wasn't possible. But we're able to bring folks, the best Catholic commentators from around the country every single day.
Now, Sarah wasn't there on day one, but she's been here for most of the history of Morning Air. You've seen this thing, you know, grow quite a bit over the years.
Well, I've been at Relevant Radio during that time, not specifically with Morning Air, but yeah, and I've heard, did not hear from the very beginning, so I missed that wonderful jingle. Oh, gosh, you know, it just It pains me to not have heard that live when it was first aired. But, I mean, we can still listen to it now over and over again. On demand whenever I feel the need to press the button to play that again. So that is very heartwarming for me to be able to do that. But, listening to Morning Air over the many years. And, geez, you guys, 21 years feels like just yesterday.
Yeah, there's been a number of hosts over the years that we're always, grateful for. I remember Sally Robb, of course, and Sean Harriet, and then John Harper after that. And I even filled in for about 3 months before Sean actually came aboard. So this has been the longest running program on Relevant Radio, and it all got started 21 years ago yesterday, guys.
Yeah, and thanks to the world's greatest audience for making that possible. But yeah, shout out to Sean Harriet, 10 years as a morning show host here at Relevant Radio. And how many years, John? John Harper started back then by 2014 and had a good run of about 7 years, I think. So
He's still a friend
John,
of the
you
show.
You got to stick around for a while if you're going to be in the Hall of Fame of morning air hosts here.
I take it one day at a time, just like my sports background. You know, you just count your blessings, and we're so grateful for our Relevant Radio audience. Some of them who have actually been there's people out there who actually remember that first show who have been listening since the very beginning, and there's people that just tuned in last week that had never heard of Relevant Radio. So it's one big giant family, and we really so much appreciate all of you. And a little bit later in the show here, coming up in a few moments, I'm going to share with you the special interview that I did with Jeff Cavins for our 20th anniversary show, which was a big deal last year, the 20th anniversary of Morning Air. So you'll be able to hear some of Jeff Cavins coming up. Glenn, what are some of the big headlines here this morning? Let me guess. It has something to do with the Big Apple.
Yeah, Mr. Trump there, not in as much of a celebratory mood as we are today on the 21st and one extra day anniversary of Morning Air on Relevant Radio. He's facing opening arguments in his case. That'll get underway. The jury was seated with 12 jurors and six alternates ready to go in Manhattan.
Yeah, it is a big deal. It's being billed as the first time in American history that prosecutors will be presenting opening statements in a criminal case against a former president. Obviously, Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan Democratic District Attorney, has his position. But former President Trump's defense team insists that the facts are on their side as they lay out their battle plans for these opening statements a little later this morning. Trump attorney Will Scharf appeared Sunday on Fox and Friends Weekend, and he said that the defense team aims to focus on the facts to prove that Mr. Trump did nothing wrong.
We're focusing on the facts because the facts show that President Trump did absolutely nothing wrong. This is a business records case. Those business records accurately reflected payments to one of President Trump's lawyers as legal retainer fees. We believe the facts are absolutely on our side, that they're absolutely exonerative of the president. And as long as the jury focuses on the facts, as long as the jury can see through all the media coverage and all the sensationalism and focus on the actual facts at issue in this case, we believe we have a winning case. And that's what you're going to see play out in court tomorrow with opening arguments.
And Glenn, there are many, many opinions about this case, and even Democrat Governor Newsom in California just said just yesterday that he's not sure if all of this media attention and focus on President Trump is actually good for the Democrats, because you know that Trump, he thrives on being the center of attention.
Yeah, and he certainly is and will continue to be as long as this trial is going on. And like we mentioned last week, even though he's technically off the campaign trail for the most part, he needs to be present whenever a court is in session throughout here. That's one of the sort of penalties that he faces no matter how the verdict falls. But I think of anybody that might be running for president ever, he'll be able to make something out of this.
And so the real media circus really begins today in Manhattan. The other big story that we're keeping an eye on, Glenn, the happenings at Columbia University. In fact, yesterday, the White House condemned in the strongest terms the ongoing anti-Israel protests at colleges across the U.S., including Columbia University in New York City. What is the latest, Glenn?
Well, no classes today for the first day of Passover, just fearing violence there. And been a sit-in going on over the weekend as well. And it's still kind of hard to fathom, but the anti-Israel protests going strong still in many spots popping up around the country. But Columbia in New York, kind of the focus of that right now.
Yeah, in fact, an Orthodox rabbi at Columbia University and Barnard College sent a message recommending that the Jewish students leave the campus and go home as these anti-Israel agitators have continued their encampment on campus. And they've caught on camera some really, really ugly stuff that we really don't even want to bring up here on the show.
And as far as Israel goes, and in Ukraine too, just for a minute, the House was able to pass some foreign military aid bills over the weekend over the objection of a small number of Republicans, but some Democrats sided with the majority of Republicans and got those bills passed on to the Senate, where they'll find passage as well as being signed by President Biden soon.
Do you think the Speaker of the House is going to make it? Is Mike Johnson going to be able to survive the onslaught, from his own party?
I think so. I think so. He'll have some Democrats to help make that happen, and he might have to do some deals to make that happen. Running through speakers left and right is not necessarily a good look for the party in charge, and in an election year, they need to look a little better maybe than they have looked.
Absolutely. All right. Well, as always, it's fun to reflect back on all these years of Morning Air and our 21st anniversary yesterday of the show. And we'll continue, like I said, coming up in a few minutes. And we'll hear from the first host ever of Morning Air, Jeff Cavins. As always, thanks, Glenn and Sarah.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every morning, as we always do, always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of God, as we continue to pray for peace in the world, especially in the Middle East and in Ukraine, and peace in our nation as well. And on Mondays, we also pray for the souls in purgatory of our family and loved ones who really do need our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we continue to invoke the Holy Spirit here during this Easter season when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 17:3. Jesus the Lord says, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples in his priestly prayer for unity. Our God and Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. During this Easter season, this is what it's all about, knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved than the holy name of Jesus. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, dear Relevant Radio family, let me ask you a question. Do you love Relevant Radio? Well, if you do, you can support our mission by becoming a parish ambassador. With support from Relevant Radio, you'll share information about our shows, promotional opportunities, our free mobile app, and much, much more. It only takes about an hour a month. You can sign up this morning to be a parish ambassador at relevantradio.com/ambassador. That's relevantradio.com/ambassador. You can always send us an email directly. It's morningairrelevantradio.com. You can also find us on social media. Our handle on X, formerly Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. We need to take a short break. When we come back, you will hear my conversation with the founding host of Morning Air, Jeff Cavins, as we go down memory lane and the launch of Morning Air on April 21st, 2003. Stay with us as Morning Air continues on this Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Looking at life from a Catholic worldview.
This is Morning Air.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Monday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As I said before, you can always send us an email directly if you have any thoughts or story ideas, anything you'd like to share with us. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as we talked about at the top of the show, 21 years ago yesterday, April 21st, 2003, at 7 a.m. Central, Relevant Radio launched Morning Air with Jeff Cavins. That was the first Relevant Radio Network program, which aired at the time on nine stations, including 10:50 a.m. in Green Bay, 13:30 a.m. in the Twin Cities, and 8:20 a.m. in Chicago. We were bridging the gap between faith and everyday life. That first show started with a man and a microphone, Jeff Cavins, the first voice you ever heard on Relevant Radio. In fact, a year earlier, in 2002, it was Jeff Cavins himself who personally called me one day out of the clear blue and invited me to join this new Catholic radio network. So I am forever grateful to Jeff. Jeff Cavins is an author, podcaster, public speaker, and Bible teacher. He's the creator of the popular Great Adventure Bible Study Series and the Great Adventure Catholic Bible. He's also the author of numerous books. Here's my memorable conversation with Jeff Cavins, the founding host of Morning Air. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome back to Morning Air, my friend. Thanks so much for joining. It is such a joy to be with you on this 20th anniversary special of Morning Air.
Well, it's good to be with you too, John. I never thought 20 years ago that in 20 years you and I would be getting together like this, but it's fantastic. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, likewise, Jeff. You know, God works in mysterious ways. He really, really does. And, you know, before we start talking and going back down memory lane, I just want to say here for the world to hear, thank you. Thank you so much for making that phone call and inviting me to be a part of Relevant Radio back in the summer of 2002 when I was on my knees praying, wondering, what am I going to do next after I had lost my job on TV? And sure enough, thanks to you, I am here chatting about our 20th anniversary.
Well, I still remember when you and I first met, we were in Detroit, Sterling Heights, and I was with Mother Angelica. We were there doing a conference, and you came up to me so excited because you went through the Great Adventure and you said, Jeff, I got to show you my Bible. I got to show you how I marked this thing up. And you, I thought, who is this guy? And you were so excited. And so we sat down, and you showed me how you marked your Bible. And I never forgot that, the zeal you had. And that's probably what caused me to remember you for the show.
Well, Jeff, I'll tell you what. Yeah, you also included me on your program on EWTN, Life on the Rock at the time. So that's, you know, we reconnected at that point also. But I just want you to know, I still have that Bible. In fact, I have it here in studio with your autograph right at the beginning of the New Testament next to Scott Hahn. John, continue to live your life on the rock. Jeff Cavins, Galatians 2:20. So, very special, wow. Bible for me, Jeff. I'll never forget. I'm so grateful, and thank you, my brother.
Well, if anybody gets to look at your Bible, it belongs in the Hall of Fame for marking.
I love it.
John with an autographed copy from the author of the Bible. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Hey, Jeff, it's Glenn Leverins.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, and I joined a couple months after you guys got Morning Air started there, but Jeff, still very much in my broadcast life these days, working through my local parish. We recently did a study of your book, of your study on James, and then currently, Jeff, the activated disciple through the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, part of the synod process, training us all up to be good disciples. And so still getting to see your smiling face and hear your great words and enthusiasm for the faith to this day, which is great. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
Well, Jeff, I'll have you know that I'm also grateful because I know that you were part of my reconversion experience, and the fact that I fell in love with the Bible, you were a big part of it at the time. And so I also want you to know that the power scripture, which we started on that first day, which I used to tag the end of the sportscast with, that still continues to this day. And just for old time's sake, we brought back today's power scripture. Is the same one we launched with from Proverbs 3:5. And six, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So lots of memories, Jeff.
Good. Well, you know, the memories of the beginning of that show are really amazing, you know, how the show came together, the naming of the show, and even the naming of the network. It was a kind of a magical time where you knew something special was being developed. And I had been looking forward to it because for me, radio was the most intimate medium. It was the way that you could speak to people on the way to work and getting ready in the morning and jogging and whatever it might be. And so I've always loved radio. And you know how it is, John and Glenn, that once you got radio in your blood, you never get it out.
No question about it. And it's different than television. It is intimate. And so you were able to bring that vision to life. Can you briefly share with us how you got involved with the Starboard Media people who eventually would launch Morning Air and Relevant Radio?
Yeah, well, Mark Follett had given me a call. I was just ending my time at EWTN, mainly because I just couldn't go back and forth because of my obligation to my kids. And so I was thinking, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? And Mark got a hold of me, and we met at a Vietnamese restaurant. I still remember it well, in Bloomington, Minnesota. And we talked about this idea, and it was Starboard Network. And I prayed about it with my wife, and I came to the conclusion that, yes, this is what God is opening up for me. But we met over in Wisconsin, right by the airport. We were meeting about the network, actually, and we were all fooling around with new names. You know, what could we come up with rather than Starboard Network? And there were about seven or eight of us, I think, there, and people advanced a bunch of names. And finally, I said, you know what? And I'd been reading Gaudium et Spes a lot, the Church in the Modern World from Vatican II. And I said, you know what? Whatever we call it, the morning show has to be relevant radio. It's got to be relevant radio. We need to bridge the gap between faith and everyday life. And everybody looked at me like, what? And they said, that's it. That's it. And that's how the name was actually hatched, was sitting in a place over in Wisconsin. It was just a comment from Gaudium et Spes. That's where the credit goes, is Gaudium et Spes. And then once we knew that I was going to be doing the morning show, we had to come up with a name, and I didn't know what to name it. You know, I was used to Life on the Rock for EWTN. And so I called my good friend, Patrick Coffin, and I said, Patrick, I got this new thing going with this new radio network. And I'm looking for a name for a morning show. And without even thinking, in fact, I talked to him about this 3 days ago, just now, he said, I didn't even really give it any thought. I just said Morning Air. And I said, that's it. I love it. That's it. And that's how
wow.
It was. That's how the name came. That's how it came about.
Oh, my goodness. So we need to put an asterisk behind the Morning Air name and always give credit to Patrick Coffin. That is awesome. I know that you had met Saint John Paul II, the Holy Father, right, just literally weeks before the launch of Relevant Radio and Morning Air. How instrumental was that vision of the Holy Father, that new evangelization what ended up being the launch of Morning Air and Relevant Radio?
Well, my hero was John Paul II. Even before I came back to the Catholic Church as a Protestant pastor, I had a list of the top 10 people I wanted to meet in my life. And John Paul II was at the top of that list. And I got a call from his, or got a letter from his secretary. And it was about a year before he passed away, and said that you can come in and we'll try to get you in to see him in his private library. And I had been trying all those years because I covered John Paul II on EWTN. I covered him in Paris and Rome and Toronto and St. Louis and all over the world. But you know, he's always 8 feet away from me, but we could never talk or anything. And so we went over there and we still didn't know if it was going to be really possible to do it. And there was a few friends with us there. And so we were over there and we got the letter. We got the letter at the hotel to say, come at night, not in the morning, but come at night. And so we did. And I actually went in with Steve McAveedy, who's the producer of Braveheart and The Passion, because it was the last day of shooting over there for The Passion. And so we went in and Sherry Brownrigg Kennedy was going to go with us, but she went back home the day before. So she felt horrible about that, of course. But we went in there and we went into his library and we knelt down before him and we talked to him a little bit. I gave him a copy of The Great Adventure, told him about Relevant Radio. And he said, I want to bless your family. I said, do it. And I still have, looking at a picture right now in our living room here of him blessing the children. And that was a real powerful point, especially when I looked up on his garment and saw on the shoulders embroidered keys. And you know, John and Glenn, what that means. It's the keys to the kingdom.
Absolutely.
And I got so choked up. I thought, put a fork in me. I've come to Papa. And it was a dream come true.
Hey, Jeff, what do you remember about this day in the 7 o'clock hour 20 years ago with Teresa Tamio in suburban Detroit, myself in my home office in Chicago, and of course you in those beautiful Golden Valley studios?
Yeah, well, the studios were—they used to be the studios of a rock station, and that rock station, Tom Bernard was the big star on that station, and so when we went over there, it was basically an empty place, and we had to kind of make it into a studio once again, and we brought our Macintosh computers, and we had a beautiful board made. For engineering and it really, really was nice. And I remember right before we went on there, Laura Spaeth was my producer, and that's a whole story on how I got her. She was remarkable. She's married now and has somewhere under 30 kids, but, she was my producer. And I remember that morning, you know, I remember calling you and inviting you, and I invited Teresa Tamio to be my news director. And before we went on the air that morning, I was nervous because you're looking at a blank canvas. I don't know what this is really going to sound like, you know, until we're done. And right when that theme song came, which that theme song was developed in Texas, and it was Gerardo,
Hernandez?
Yes, that's right. You got a good memory. Gerardo.
Shout out to Gerardo.
Yeah, he was a guitar player for that that Latino singer in Texas that was at, unfortunately murdered by her manager. I can't remember her name now, but he was down there, and he came up with this theme, and I was like, that is amazing! What a beautiful theme song! And all of a sudden, boom! That theme song hit. We were on the air, and the rest was history. It just, you know what? It went so well, and the reason for it was, we had a really good team. We had engineering. We had you in sports. We had Teresa Tamio in news. A great Laura Spaeth, who's now Laura Fisher, and so everything came together.
And Marty Jury behind the scenes, watching the baby be born.
Yes, and it truly was a group effort. It really was. So kudos to the entire team. And I think it kind of set the bar for Catholic broadcasting in a daily show, because it wasn't just a talking person. We really were a team, and you and I and Teresa would banter and talk and share with one another. So it had a lot of color to it that was, it was bright, fresh, dynamic, and very, you know, with the church.
Well, we have some banter for you, a very special clip from Memory Lane a few months later in the show when you were talking to Laura Fisher, and it's about Little Tiny. It's one of the memorable pro-life moments of Morning Air.
But right now, it's time for Little Tiny, Baby
Fisher. Hello,
right.
Laura.
Good morning. Today is day 81, and little Tiny is doing really well. We heard the heartbeat just the day before yesterday. Uh-huh. And today, we are learning that over the next 3 days, the baby's spleen will assume functions supervised by the liver, the removal of old red blood cells, and the production of antibodies. It's good that I don't have to remember all this for the baby.
Can you imagine that? On your Franklin timer, on your to-do list?
Yeah, exactly. That the Lord is taking care of all of this, and I just have to just be here and eat and rest and...
And do the
everything,
show.
Yeah, and everything will happen. Exactly. So day 81, 185 days to go.
Yeah, and we're going to follow every single one of
them.
That's
right. So a couple more days. By the time we come in next Monday, it'll be the beginning of month 4 already. So
isn't that
the first trimester.
Well, congratulations. We're praying for you. We're praying for all of our pregnant moms that listen around the country following the development of little Tiny. We don't know if it's a boy or girl. We don't have a name yet.
No.
In fact, should we open that up to our audience?
No, sure. We'll take suggestions. No problem. We're not promising anything, but we can take suggestions.
Okay, Laura.
Little Tiny, I suppose, won't work. Huh?
Laura Fisher with Little Tiny.
How special was that, Jeff?
That was so good. I don't know if any radio show has ever tracked the development of a baby in the womb every day for the full term. Of course, Little Tiny ended up becoming Big Thomas. And he's a man now, you know, he's grown up but we all were there with her. It wasn't that beautiful, but every day she was so precise, the spleen, the liver. It was great.
It was really outstanding. A shout out to Big Thomas, please. And Mom, say hi to Laura for us next time you talk to her, Jeff. I wanted to just get your thoughts on did you ever imagine that we would go from 9 stations on that day to now 210 stations coast to coast, you know, bringing Christ to the world through the media? And it all started 20 years ago today.
Well, no, I didn't. There was no way to do it. I think it's similar to asking the disciples, did you ever believe that you would feed 5,000 people with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish? And they're like, no, I had no idea that was going to happen. But that's a beautiful thing about radio is that, you know, when people support radio, Catholic radio, they may give what seems to some people as a small gift, but that small gift in the hands of Jesus can do extraordinary things. And that's where you go from the natural to the supernatural, and God can do things to reach the world that we couldn't do on our own. And so that's the fun of walking in the kingdom. And that's what we did.
Well, Jeff, it has been truly a joy to hear your voice, to be with you here this morning as we celebrate 20 years of Morning Air. I so much appreciate you joining us. It has been absolutely outstanding.
Thank you. It's so good to hear your voice and Glenn, your voice. And this has really been a lot of fun for me. And I appreciate you putting together that package to down memory lane. That meant a lot to me.
Well, Jeff, we can never forget you. You are the founding father of Morning Air. And again, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. So many great memories. That was my conversation with the founding host of Morning Air, Jeff Cavins, from last year's 20th anniversary special show that we did as we reflect on yesterday's 21st anniversary of the launch of Morning Air back on April 21st. 2003. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch will be with us to talk about speaking the truth with love. So stay with us. We are just warming up this morning on this Monday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149. This is Morning Air.
Yes, we are jumping this morning. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Mraz, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday, the fourth week of Easter, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, as we continue to be able to say Happy Easter during this glorious Easter season. You could always send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our toll-free line, if you want to be part of the program, again, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you the type of person who worries about what other people think of you? Have you ever felt afraid to live and to even defend your Catholic faith in public? Standing up for something takes courage. Standing up for Jesus and our Catholic faith is absolutely worth it. As Pope St. John Paul II once said, it is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. Joining us live is Morning Air regular contributor Kendra Von Esch to talk about speaking the truth with love. Kendra's a speaker, a faith coach, and podcast who is passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey. Kendra is also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, my sister Kendra. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Well, thank you, John. I'm happy to be here. I'm in the middle of Illinois. I just pulled over on the side of the road to take this call. I'm so excited to be on this morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. What are you doing out in the middle of Illinois?
I'm heading down to Tennessee, our property down there, and got up at, dark 30 this morning. I felt you when I was getting up at 3 in the morning.
Oh, my
I thought about
goodness.
You and thinking how you do this almost every day.
Well, thanks for thinking of us, and we appreciate you being on and taking the time on the side of the road to join us to talk about our faith and speaking the truth with love. Now, as you know, obviously, in fact, we just celebrated 21 years of Morning Air yesterday, so we were chatting about that in the first part of the show. But so it's easy for me, your Relevant Radio Morning Air host, to share my faith and to try to make a difference with others. But what about regular folks? What about everyday people? How can they live their faith at their place of work, for example?
Well, first, congratulations. I cannot believe it was 20 years ago that Relevant Radio started, and praise God that it's grown, because honestly, in
21,
my early journey,
actually.
When I 21.
Yesterday was 21. Yeah,
Oops.
Relevant Radio is of age.
And it's helped me, totally helped me on my journey. So I remember in the beginning of my journey out of confession, after being away for 26 years, I told everybody at my office the very next day. So I went to confession on Divine Mercy Sunday. I had no idea what Divine Mercy Sunday was. I didn't know the promises. And I floated out of that confessional, and I had a countenance change. People at my office were looking at me and asking me if I was on a new diet, a new workout plan. One woman even asked me if I was pregnant, because I was glowing after being out of that confession. Basically, the demons have to go when you confess all of your sins in there. So
that's
everyone
the Relevant
was asking
Radio
me what was
glow.
Up. Yeah, exactly. And everyone was asking me, what is up with you? What's different? And I could not stop saying, I must be a super Catholic. I don't know why I put super in front of Catholic, but I told everybody I went to confession and how amazing I felt. And I didn't have a clue about the faith. I didn't know the difference between Catholicism and Judaism and Buddhism and Muslim faith and all of that. I had no idea the difference between other Christian denominations, but I didn't care. I needed everyone to know how amazing that confession experience was for me. And so when we're in work, we can share the encounters that we've had with Jesus, how we've been healed from certain things, and not be embarrassed. I mean, it's really glorifying God when you say, hey, I used to do this, now I don't. One of the big things for me was cleaning up my language. I used to drop the F-bomb every other word, and everyone knew that that was who I was at the office. And I, you know, was at the mahogany row as an executive in corporate America, hanging out with the guys, swearing just like them. And when I asked God to help me clean up my language, people noticed. And then one more thing,
Kendra, I gotta add. I just can't imagine. I can't picture you swearing like a drunken sailor.
Oh my gosh, it was so bad. And I was the most raunchiest person ever. So I would make guys blush, John. It was so embarrassing when I look back. But apparently God wanted me to live that life so that he could do so many changes in my life so I could share with everyone that, yeah, pretty much anything is possible with God.
And you were actually a baby ambassador at the time, before being a parish ambassador was even in style.
Exactly, exactly. And I couldn't truly just promote Relevant Radio, I couldn't tell enough people about it. And then when I left my executive career to get into ministry, I speak about Relevant Radio all of the time. And I'm shocked that there are still some people that are like, oh no, I haven't heard of Relevant Radio. And so I tell them all about the app and I tell them to download it and go to the prayer section and just listen, 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 because you, all of you, and the guests are just helping people deepen their relationship with God, learning the faith, and then having that courage. You're right, because you can't share what you don't have or you don't know. So praise God for Relevant Radio and being able to help people have that courage to share what the Catholic faith is all about, because it's extraordinary what we...
Absolutely. I want to open up our phone lines and invite our listeners here early this morning. If you're up and you'd like to be a part of our conversation and share your perspective on speaking the truth in love, on sharing our Catholic faith in the public square or with our friends and family, we're taking your calls for Catholic speaker and faith coach Kendra Von Asch at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, Kendra, when I saw the topic that you wanted to speak of, I immediately thought of St. Paul in Galatians 5:6, when he talks about faith working through love. And it really hit home. How can we show our faith out there in the public world and to do it with love?
Yeah, so no judgment. We have to ask the Lord for the true charity. Like when I pray the St. Michael Chaplet, the very first one is the seraphim, and that's, we ask the seraphim angels to burn in our hearts true charity. So we have to understand that some people may not have a clue about Jesus. Some people may not have a clue about the Catholic faith. They only listen to what the world says the Catholic faith is, which is what I did for about 42 years of my life. So we just have to be kind. And honestly, loving is more about understanding where they're coming from. In the early part of my journey, I just wanted to catechize people with everything that I knew. And you know what? People don't really want to hear that. They want to be understood and they want to be listened to. And so the more that you ask them questions, the more information you get, and then you can say, oh, I'm going to tell them about this. So it's all about loving people where they are, and it's not always where we are. So we just have to love them and pray, by the way. That is love, praying for these people who may not care or really don't want to hear a thing about your faith or your journey, but we want them to have an open heart. So we pray to Mary, to Saint Joseph, to all the angels and saints to open up their hearts, to give them ears to hear and eyes to see.
Well, the first Holy Father, the first Pope, St. Peter, wrote in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. And that is, you know, that is the golden nugget scripture of apologetics, of defending one's faith. But again, I think you got to focus on the with gentleness and reverence, meaning with respect, listen to the other person, to do it with charity, as we're talking about, with love.
Exactly. And it's also knowledge. So we can't share what we don't know. So I'm just calling out to all the listeners to open up their minds and think, okay, how can I learn more? Well, you've got Patrick Madrid on the next, you know, show on Relevant Radio. You've got people that are sharing bits and pieces of the faith and how to love one another while we're walking on this journey together. I used to say that the Catholic faith is like a part-time job. I remember how much I was on fire. The Holy Spirit put this unquenchable thirst in my heart after that confession to learn more about this Catholic faith. So we can start with the beauty of the Eucharist. That is the source and summit of our faith. And that, my dear friends out there in Radio Land and you, John, that was the first thing that I researched because I wanted to figure out what they were saying after peace be with you. I said, and also with you. And of course, that's not what we say. So I wanted to learn what are they saying. And that was when God led me to Eucharistic miracles. And I got lost for hours upon hours looking at all of these proofs that Jesus is in the Catholic Church and Jesus is in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that is a great place to start and share some of those Eucharistic miracles with people that don't know or don't believe.
Do you think that sharing the Eucharist and the Eucharistic miracles is a good way to go with people who really, you know, don't really have a whole lot of faith? You know, they might be agnostics. They might be even atheists. They don't believe in anything. But if you show them the compelling and overwhelming evidence for these supernatural miracles, it might make a difference.
And it really starts, you know, yes, to answer that quickly, but it really starts with us. So if we're still living that foul mouth life and we're still doing all those bad things and committing those mortal sins and not living like there is another eternity for us to really take into consideration in our actions today, then we're just a bunch of talk. You know, we have to walk the walk. And yes, I think that there's something incredible about the Eucharist. I remember my very first blog was on Eucharistic miracles, and I was just blown away myself. And when people realize that the ones that are testing out these miracles, they are the agnostics. They are the atheists. They are of a different faith because that's what the Catholic Church does. We bring in all these other people, the naysayers, and then they have to look and say, wow, there is no scientific reason for this. There is no natural reason for this. So, geez, it must be supernatural. And that is what we need to share with all of those people who, you know, are agnostic or atheist or a completely different faith.
Final minute. We're in the Easter season. We're getting ready for Pentecost. It's the time to reflect on the Holy Spirit. How can we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to help us share our faith with friends and strangers and loved ones?
You know, it's all about prayer. So if you're going to be with people before you're going to go to a party, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you the words to speak. If you're in a discussion with someone at work and you feel the Spirit prompting you to say something, then don't fight it. Don't be afraid. The Spirit will give us courage, will give us joy and love to speak that truth that those people need to hear at that time. So it's really about connecting with the Spirit within you and keeping your prayer life all throughout the day.
Amen. We'll have to leave it right there. Happy Easter. Kendra, thank you so much, as always, for being with us.
God bless you all, and congratulations on 21 years. I'm super excited for
you. Thanks, Kendra. Morning Air contributor Kendra Von Esch, and you can find her at kendravonesch.com. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called I Don't Believe a Word of It, from Howard Hendricks. By the fifth grade, I was bearing all the fruit of a kid who feels insecure, unloved, and pretty angry at life. In other words, I was tearing the place apart. However, my teacher, Miss Simon, apparently thought I was blind to this problem because she regularly reminded me, Howard, you are the worst behaved child in the school. So tell me something I don't already know, I thought to myself as I proceeded to live up or down to her opinion of me. Needless to say, the fifth grade was probably the worst year of my life. Finally, I was graduated for obvious reasons, but I left Miss Simon's words ringing in my ears. Howard, you're the worst behaved child in the school. Well, you can imagine what my expectations were upon entering sixth grade. First day of class, my teacher, Miss Noe, went down the roll call. It wasn't long before she came to my name, Howard Hendricks. She called out, glancing from her list to where I was sitting with my arms folded, just waiting to go into action. She looked me over for a moment and then said, I've heard a lot about you. And she smiled and added, but I don't believe a word of it. I tell you, that moment was a fundamental turning point, not only in my education, but my life. Suddenly, unexpectedly, someone believed in me. For the first time in my life, someone saw potential in me. Miss Noe put me on special assignments. She gave me little jobs to do. She invited me to come in after school to work on my reading and math. She challenged me with higher standards. I had a hard time letting her down. In fact, one time I got so involved in one of her homework assignments, I stayed up till 1:30 in the morning working on it. Eventually, my father came down the hall and said, "What's the matter, son? Are you sick?" "No, I'm doing homework," I replied. He kind of blinked and rubbed his eyes, not quite sure whether he was awake. He'd never heard me say anything like that before. What made the difference between 5th and 6th grade? The fact that someone was willing to give me a chance. Someone was willing to believe in me while challenging me with higher expectations. That was risky because there was no guarantee I'd honor Miss Noah's trust. Everyone likes the end product of mentoring, especially when it yields a peak performer. Star athlete, the successful business person, the brilliant lawyer, the impressive communicator. But how many of us want to deal with the person at the front end of that process? From 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Father John Gordon, the Secretary for Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Newark, will be with us to tell us about the Australian bishop who survived a stabbing and then forgave his attacker. Plus, Catholic speaker and author Lisa Cotter will join us to discuss the feminine genius and the Holy Eucharist. Stay with us. There is much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air on this Monday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.